Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Barry Shub, he is the chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID vaccines. He joins us. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. So is it possible, given what we've seen overseas, and obviously one of our advantages is we can watch to see what happens in the Northern Hemisphere where they're a little bit ahead of us, do you think it's at all possible to avoid a fourth wave?
Look, Howard, I think it's possible. I think it's unlikely.
Okay.
You know, unfortunately, to be quite honest, we can't really predict. This virus is so tricky and its behavior is so tricky and unpredictable. It's difficult to say, you know, to kind of really predict when it's going to come, how serious it's going to be. I think virtually all scientists and people that I come into contact with believe that there will be a fourth wave. What we don't know is exactly when and exactly how serious it's going to be. I think, you know, there are many factors which make for this variability. You know, the one thing we can go on the cyclical pattern. We know that the first three waves, they kind of occurred in the intervals of about, what, it was 95 days, 95 to 100 days between the waves. Each wave lasted about 75, 76 days. And then the third wave came along and it upset the apple cart a bit. It lasted about 130 days instead of 90 days. So, you know, that's the one unpredictability. But probably more unpredictable is, as you say, the vaccine reach. You know, at the moment we've got about a third of adults have been either partially or fully vaccinated, what are 25% fully vaccinated. It's still a long way to go. We are seeing the dividends in hospital admissions, but it's still a long way to go in terms of, you know, aborting any kind of future waves. And then there's human behavior. You know, that's also a bit unpredictable. You know, we've got the elections now. What effect that's going to have?
Absolutely.
We've got rage. What effect that's going to have? So they're quite, and also the kind of biggest unpredictability is where they're going to have a new variant. Because it's the new variant which drove the previous waves. So, it's all unpredictable.
Is it a good sign that we haven't seen a new variant for a reasonable period of time? Or maybe we have seen it, but it hasn't become something of concern.
Yeah, I don't think so, Howard. I'll tell you why I say that, because this virus is highly changeable, what you call mutable. It mutates quite regularly. And the thing is that as long as you've got reservoirs where the virus is multiplying, you give it a chance to kind of generate variants which will be selected for to the virus's advantage. So the two main reasons, the one is a kind of reservoir of unvaccinated people where the virus is circulating, and also people that may well have been vaccinated but have deficient immune systems.
Right.
So the virus isn't totally eliminated, and you've got the selective pressure of a kind of dampened down immunity due to the vaccine, and that'll select for variants which do are able to escape the immunity. And unfortunately, we just can't. You know, there's no tools to really be able to predict it. Look, I think it in some ways we can kind of rationalize, maybe optimistically rationalize, that that there may be a limit to the number of variants that the virus can vary to, but we don't really know that. That's actually guesswork.
Is there a difference between a wave and a surge?
Well, now surge just means that there's a sudden increase. The wave is the actual epidemic shape of the, what we use, in fact, is a 7-day moving average of daily cases. And we trace an epidemic curve and we call that a wave.
And by definition, does a wave have to be 30% of the wave prior, have reached 30%? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's an arbitrary figure. There's nothing really scientific. It's just a way of kind of, you know, alerting people. Look, there is a lot of virus circulating in the community. Beware, take precautions. So we call it a wave. It's really for that reason, really. It's not a scientific definition per se.
And in terms of just talking about human behavior, that is the most, I would imagine, the most tangible way to try and prevent it. You've mentioned things like rage. You've mentioned things like the local government elections. If we aren't careful during those times, we are giving the virus the opportunity to spread once again.
Absolutely. Now, even in low activity, even between the waves, the virus is still circulating. It doesn't disappear. It circulates at a very low level, almost a sort of clinically imperceptible level, just occasionally cases. But it's just still circulating, and then it kind of builds up. And this is why we have these periodic waves. Because between the waves, it's circulating at a low level. Then it builds up a sort of a mass in the population till it reaches a threshold. And once it reached that threshold, then you have the kind of clinical cases coming through, and we kind of measure that on the wave.
And the vaccination in terms of healthcare workers, where you're looking to get a booster, is that going to happen soon?
Yeah, I hope so. It's going to happen. It certainly is going to happen, and it's going to happen fairly soon, as soon as possible, actually.
Right.
The reason I'm saying as soon as possible is because we want to really secure our healthcare system. We're hoping there's not going to be a serious wave, but you really want to have a healthcare system or healthcare professionals who are maximally protected. And for that reason, we'd like to have the boosting coming through fairly soon. So I hope it will.
Let's hope that as well. And in terms of the under-18s, are we still waiting to get more of the adult population vaccinated before we start with the adolescents and teenagers?
Yeah, now you articulated exactly that, yeah. Look, our priority really is to get more of these, particularly the older age group, which we're doing pretty well, but there is still a gap there. Getting that as a priority before we look at the adolescents. Not children, but adolescents. And the adolescents from 12 to 18 or 12 to 17
right.
will probably be after that, after we can. So I would guess, and really it's a personal guess, probably sometime in November, we'll
right.
kind of go down to the adolescent age group.
Right. Which would be great. Not that I would think that they need to go on rage anyway. I'm hoping that parents are going to be parents and actually say, you know what, it's not a very good idea, but we can only try and hope that sense will prevail.
Absolutely. No, sure. Now, look, it's a matrix that we also kind of
consider. Absolutely. Absolutely right.